DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
And welcome to Not Another Podcast. I'm your host, James.
I'm Dan. With...
Oh, you go right ahead, though.
Oh, and no. Because Dan's a dick, I'm Samantha.
Yes, yes, I am.
Today's episode will focus on Dickory.
Tom. Dickory, to be precise.
And his brother, Harry.
Mm.
Dickory.
Harry's got issues. Let's work those out.
A lot of issues.
This awkward silence brought to you by a lack of substance.
I really don't know where to go with this.
We did better before we started recording.
So, James, you were telling me about Hellraiser Judgment. Please, continue.
Yeah, I can't do this.
James is the first to crack. All right.
Yay.
I usually am. No, this was it was a really good idea in theory, but
just couldn't hold
without a topic and direction to go in, like, just go in blank.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, welcome to the show and shit.
So, Dan had a great idea, and I think we should roll with it. We can get back to my breakdown of the movie Hellraiser Judgment, which I just recently saw, and I'm going to give it a big, fat, I don't know.
Fair enough.
And I'll explain later. But we were discussing, or we were going to discuss, our top 10 guilty pleasure movies.
Mm-hmm. Movies that are genuinely just terrible, but you can't help but love them. Not something you would, you know.
Thanks for the notice, guys.
We figured we'd probably go first.
Hey,
give you some time.
I got the notice 30 seconds before we got you on, so.
Yeah, and I came up with this
you
shit
still
like
had
5 seconds before
more
I
than
brought
me.
It to him.
So since
oh,
you came up with
up
it, Dan, you get to go
judgment.
First.
Alright. Do what now?
I said I just looked up Hellraiser Judgment, did not know a new Hellraiser was coming out this year.
Here's the thing. I found out about it about a month ago. And then suddenly it was online, and I can send you both a link if you want to actually watch it.
Cool.
Fuck it. Why Samantha's talking about it? I'll give a review right here.
There you go. Lay
oh,
it out.
Sorry.
Lay it out.
It's fine. It gives you time to think about your top 10 guilty pleasure movies.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
So, like I was saying, this is a brand new Hellraiser. It's basically so the movie company, I believe it's New Line, but I can't remember for sure, doesn't lose the rights to the Hellraiser franchise. They have done literally nothing with it for years, but every so often they throw out one so they don't
keep
lose
the rights
for it.
Yeah.
It's kind of bullshit. I wish they'd just lose the rights because Clive Barker is the number one guy trying to get the rights back.
Well, yeah, I mean, they might actually get a decent Hellraiser out of it.
Well, he was going to reboot the series like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But then there was a breakdown in negotiations between him and New Line. So he said, fuck you. I'll just wait till you lose the rights. And New Line said, fuck you. We'll just keep making shitty Hellraiser so we don't lose the rights.
Dick move.
But in this instance, they got kind of like a third of a good movie. So mm-hmm. here's the long and short of it. Two police detectives are investigating a series of murders. A third detective comes to help them along with the investigation. What they don't know is that the murders are actually being committed by agents of hell. These agents of hell are luring in very bad people and putting them through an interview process in order to take their soul.
We just want to make sure that you're good enough for hell. You know, just
and
just
here's
be on the safe side.
Here's what I liked about the movie. So, person wakes up, tied to a chair, essentially, and in front of them is the interviewer, air quotes.
Air quotes.
I'm not doing Little Bunny Foo Foo.
Just air quotes.
he's kind of a cut up. He's obviously supposed to be a Cenobite, but it's not your traditional Cenobite. He's in a suit and tie, big old sunglasses, with scars all over his face.
Okay.
So what he does is he asks the person tied to the chair questions and then types up the answers. Then he pulls the paper and sets it down for the assessor. The assessor comes in and he is pretty much gluttony.
God, what you got to do to get into hell these days? So much red fucking tape.
So gluttony comes in with a briefcase, opens the briefcase, takes out a fork, knife, and plate, puts the typed pages on it, eats it, and then regurgitates it into a sink in the same room, and the regurgitated notes go into this other room where three scarred and naked women plunge their hands into it to soak up all the information.
Data collection has changed a lot since I was a kid.
Essentially, yeah. And then they determine whether this soul is worthy or not. If they say yes, the next thing we know is we find the guilty party now laid out on a big slab where four or five very old and very naked women cleanse him. And by cleanse him, I mean using their tongue. And by using their tongue, I mean all over. And they're not shy about showing it. And then they all spit in his mouth and make him gargle because he needs to be cleansed inside and outside.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Right.
Then another guy comes in after the women exit, and it's a big old hulking massive behemoth of a man who turns around at the foot of this slab, and out of his back emerges what I can only describe as BDSM lumberjack. Who then proceeds to squat on said guilty party, taking out these really cool, wicked-looking, like, hand knives, and proceeds to back and forth cut the guy open, and then fillet him, taking his skin from the very top of his forehead all the way down to the toes, and then tossing it on the floor, wherein the three sexy slash cut-up hookers from before who pronounced him guilty come in, kneel at the side, and are sprayed down with, in fire hose fashion, the blood of said victim. Pretty cool imagery for... I really don't do it justice here, but it's pretty cool imagery for a Hellraiser movie.
All right.
It's really gritty, dark, and again, for a Hellraiser film, I really liked it. But it also felt very cheap and very... Like, if they had more money...
And, you know, better time or writers or...
Well, I would think more money and more time to really, like, flesh this whole process out and really get into more of the Cenobites from, like, the first couple of movies kind of thing. It could have been, like, really, like, one of those movies that you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is a thing. This is so amazingly... graphic and artful all at the same time. Because that was one of the things that struck me about Hellraiser 1 and 2, that even though it was very just over-the-top gore, it was also very pretty.
Well,
there was an arty kind of feel to the Cenobite costumes and makeup.
I think number 2 for me always stood out a little bit better just out of sheer principle. Number 1, the first couple of times I watched it when I was younger, I got really bored.
Number one, number one comes from the book, and the book isn't as visually stunning as the movie was, and the movie wasn't as stunning as 2 was. 2 was a lot better. Like, they explored the world a little bit better,
they kind of gave you a bit more of a feel for what the Cenobites were in general, as the area where they kind of stem from, as well as...
And I still feel they only scratched the surface, and a lot of it didn't make sense, and I think a lot of that had to do with time, budget. I mean, it's a horror movie. Horror movies always have the lowest budget. They're always the poorest done of all the movie genres. I mean, let's face it. You can count on, like, two hands, like, the best horror movies.
Well, I mean,
where
they
took time
budget.
With... What?
The new It movie.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's, again, that's an anomaly
right.
as far as movie genres
but
go.
But look what happens when you get a good budget and you got good actors.
And here's the flip side of that. Look at the... Look at what happens when you don't have a good budget, but you have a really good story.
Sure.
The first Saw
was
really
good.
Good.
Yeah, and it was definitely a bare bones kind of budget. But it was kind of meant to be almost. It wasn't really... they almost didn't need a massive budget for that movie because you couldn't have really done it any better.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. The horror movie doesn't necessarily... Budget doesn't define your horror movie. What defines your horror movie is the story.
True.
If the story calls for a low budget, do a low budget horror movie.
Yeah.
And focus on the story, which is what the first Saw did in spades.
Well, and on top of that, you look at movies like The Witch.
Yeah, exactly.
Fairly low budget, had a good studio backing it, so they had a lot of good production value.
Very little in the way of effects.
Yeah, honestly, almost none. That weren't necessarily almost practical. Everything that they did was almost done in real time. I mean, the ladies levitating and shit like that, yeah, okay, there might have been a little bit of love, but...
That's where they blew all their budget.
Well, I mean, the costumes, the set, everything like that was actually traditionally made. Mm-hmm. So they had specific people come out and make it to specs of the time era. And, I mean, it shows. It's a beautiful fucking movie. But at the same time, its budget wasn't outlandish.
And again, small budget film. Look at the first Blair Witch. For its time,
yeah,
fucking amazingly... Again, that came down to story.
Well, most of
they
that
wrote
money
a
for their
really...
budget was their marketing.
Yeah.
Was just getting the word out there about this.
But I guarantee
footage.
You that marketing thing didn't come until they turned in a final prod... final produced piece,
yeah.
And the theater went. The company went. This is going to be good. Let's throw a ton of money at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
like,
the...
they were given something stupid. Like each one of them was given like $200 a day or something like that.
Yeah.
Originally, afterward was a little bit different.
And the effects on that film was rocks and sticks. Mm-hmm. Whatever you find in the forest, that
make it work.
So
make it creepy.
Again, going back to this Hellraiser.
Make it boogery.
I feel like if they had more money and more time to spend on that part of the film...
That's fair.
It would have been a lot better than it was. Now, here's where... That's where the movie shined. Here's where the movie did not shine. So these two detectives, following this killer, are two brothers. Yeah. And it turns out one of them is the actual killer.
Boo for plot twist.
Yeah. And it's not even well done. I figured it out within the first 10 minutes.
Ah, damn it. I fucking hate it when movies do that to me.
And it wasn't like they were trying to hide it. Maybe they were, but they just did it poorly. But I figured it out way too quickly, and I was like, nah. Here's where it kind of got interesting with that storyline. So, the Cenobites get hold of the killer. And they start going through the judgment phase.
Right.
And he essentially kills the assessor with the atrocities that he's performed. And
joke on that.
And he kills the judgy girls.
Right.
And he goes to report to Pinhead, who, by the way, is not Doug Bradley, but the guy they got is pretty good. And if they made another Hellraiser, like an actual Hellraiser, I would actually vote for this guy to be Pinhead if Doug Bradley wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, and Bradley's getting on a bit, so I mean...
And Bradley said that he really has no interest in it unless they did the Scarlet Gospels.
Well, and for fuck's sake, he's already done, what, 6, 7 of them?
Yeah, something like that.
And, like, everyone past 4 was just garbage?
Yeah. Well, everyone past 4 was just a movie that they kind of... You know,
just
shoved him in, yeah.
Shoved him.
Shoehorned him in. So it wasn't... They weren't technically Hellraiser movies.
Fair
and
enough.
It's kind of sad because a couple of those movies were pretty good if you took the Hellraiser element out.
Ouch. That sucks.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like we have to do something with Hellraiser or we're going to lose the rights. Hey, here's this great film. Shove Pinhead in it. No. How? Just figure it out.
Fucking throw him in. So you're working on your 10, Sam?
I think she took a nap.
Are you napping on us?
Samantha. No. Why?
Samantha. Sorry. I think we might have
it won't
her.
Come off of mute.
Oh, well, Cole's active. I think she's just ignoring us.
She just
us
put
now.
Us on hold and she went to, do whatever.
She's making a sandwich. Punching a puppy.
Hey, we weren't supposed to talk about that. Did you get that memo?
Peter be damned.
So there's another twist in the film, but it's actually really cool. Hmm. Apparently, Heaven is watching over this whole process. Hmm. And one of God's highest angels comes down, and she tells the Cenobites to let the killer go. And it gets very confusing until the final conflict. And basically, she comes out and says, we understand in heaven that there has to be evil, but it's better if we control the evil. So we allow certain evils to roam free.
Okay, hi.
There she is.
I don't know if you guys got my message. My younger dog is climbing all over me, and she shut my computer, and then I couldn't get it off of mute.
Gotcha.
That's okay. We weren't saying anything important.
Well, I could still hear you. I just couldn't
well, that's good.
Talk. I mean, I don't want to hear you, but,
Well, cure for that is just to simply hang out.
Yes, I am. I am working on my 10. I'm up to 7 right now.
Woohoo! So, so that's Hellraiser Judgment. I would actually recommend it if you are a Hellraiser fan. Just understand that it's not a good film, but there's enough good stuff in it
to make it worth watching.
To make it worth about an hour, 20-minute watch.
Okay. Okay.
Especially, there's kind of a cool twist ending. Well, there's actually two, and I didn't see them coming. Mm-hmm. Although, one of them I should have.
That's fair.
But, it's, again... worth a watch, but it's not going to win any prizes.
Yeah. And, there's a lot of horror movies out there that kind of fall into that category.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Some things are redeemable, but just not usually.
So, Dan, tell us your top 10 guilty pleasure movies.
All right, I'll be honest with you.
10 is a lot, okay?
10 is a lot.
Yes. it's one of those things where the wife and I, we love watching bad movies. And, MST3K usually gives us our chock-a-block as far as what we, search for, and they make fun of it for us. But we've come across a station that we have on our cable called Comet TV. And Comet TV has given us some just... priceless gems.
Comet TV is like
movies.
the cable sci-fi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think I've got it.
It's just like old, generic, cheesedick, horror, sci-fi, fantasy. And they just take the worst of the worst and they boost it up for a month. And it's like, so we came across my number 10, which is called Yore, The Hunter from the Future. It is awful in all the right ways. It's this blonde-headed, just fucking monster beast of a man.
Essentially, you found your Comic-Con costume,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. he would almost double as, He-Man, Masters of the Universe kind of stuff, but in such a terrible way.
Yeah.
Yore definitely falls into the top 10 just because, again, it's so terrible, it's wonderful. And then on that same vein, there's Gore. Now, Gore is a movie where there's...
I love that song by Gore.
Right?
Your
right.
Gore?
Gore.
Your Gore!
Gore, G-O-R. And this movie takes place in, caveman era, where this, essentially a caveman finds this bow and arrow that's supposed to shoot these magical arrows. Now, mind you, whoever made this film... didn't understand that less is more when it comes to smoking out the entire set.
Yeah.
So I deemed it too smoky to see a plot. Because the main villain in it is this lady who's wearing a gold mask, nothing else except for this skimpy skirt. That's it. And she's a sorceress of some sort. And so the whole purpose of the movie is this Gore is trying to go defeat this evil sorceress witch.
Tits the queen?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like, Jesus, it's so terrible, yet so enjoyable to watch. My wife and I just went and picked up two new movies from Movie Madness, because that's where we go to get all of our retarded stuff. Mm. I haven't seen it yet, but I've been told good things. Hawk the Slayer looks just fucking wonderful. I watched the trailer for it. It's circa 1973. Fantasy epic where these two brothers, one goes bad, one goes good, and the one who went good is called Hawk. And it's a battle between them, both of them. And also, The Sword and the Sorcerer is on my list of to-dos. Hasn't made the list yet, just out of principle. I can't say that I've watched it, but it looks delicious. You know, and my guilty pleasures usually fall into the fantasy era. So, I mean, movies like Excalibur. I fucking love Excalibur. It is one of my favorite.
That's not one you should feel guilty about. That's a really well done film.
It is, and it's not.
And
it's pretty terrible, really.
It doesn't hold up. Like, time has not been kind to it.
No, not at all. But, you know, the nice thing about it is it's like the makers of Excalibur were told what Knights of Yore would look like, and so they just did it up to the nines. I mean, their armor, you can tell it's flimsy metal, but it's fucking metal.
Yeah.
And everything. I mean, the sound effects in that movie alone are hilarious because there's more clinking and clattering of armor than there is dialogue in the movie.
Hmm.
And the whole story of Arthur and everything like that, it's just there's too much to be made fun of. I caught that early in the morning before I went to work. And all day I was thinking about the scenes that I saw that morning. I was like, I gotta find that fucking movie. It was on like AMC or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I have to find this.
Excalibur is a pretty legit film. Again, like I said, does not hold up. Time has not been good to it. But the acting and costuming and set building in that movie, pretty top notch.
Fair enough.
Well, acting, yeah. Not so much.
Not so much. I mean, Lancelot running through the forest naked, screaming a land without a king with his, you know, dangle just of waving about. You know, not the most gripping scene of passion I've ever seen, but pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's now my announcement when I get out of the shower. I am without a king! But I mean, just stupid stuff like that. Cherry 2000, another horrible, horrible, wonderful movie.
That movie was so great.
See, and you know these movies.
I do.
These are not movies that fall into like...
That fucking Mustang was amazing.
Right? It's
like, and who was that? Melanie Griffin. She was hot then. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's like these are the movies that I fall into my guilty pleasures because I will watch these with my wife. I will not bring them out into daylight. Just out of sheer principle, they're mine. And I don't want nobody to know.
Okay, what are we up to with you now?
Fuck, I think I'm on like 7. Let's see. Gore, your... Yeah, so I got 3 more. Damn it. And I'm trying to remember some of the names because we also get into... horror movies. Bad horror movies. Mm. I want to say it was... Slither?
I love Slither. With Nathan Fillion?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a badass movie.
That's a great movie.
That one was pretty legit. However, on the grand scale of, you know, wonderful movie making, it hits all the right points for being almost a bad horror movie, but at the same time so well produced. That, you know, the gore level and the disgusting level is there, but the story is just like, KY.
It's like KY?
Exactly. We must have used a lot of
very it. Very slippery?
There. Very slimy.
That's KY. We're brought to you by KY.
Now in your NPR voice. God. 2 more to go.
Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, I hated that movie.
I actually really liked that movie. It was so visceral.
I'm on the fence, so I'm kind of like Sweden between you two. I liked parts of it, but overall, the whole story and plot just...
Oh, it was terrible.
So lacking.
At least it wasn't as...
Things...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. There are two things that I liked about it. Sorry, my headphones are cutting in and out, so I do not mean to cut you guys off. So, the two things I liked, the crazy talking goat was so terrible. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that she lost in the end. The bad guy won.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no win condition for this movie. It was...
No, you're cursed. Fucked. You're going to hell.
Yeah. You're screwed, dude. No matter what you do to write it, you're fucked. And that's one of the things I liked about it.
Well, she had it wrong. She got it wrong. She would have been fine if she had the button in whatever... But she grabbed the wrong thing.
Right. And it was just... It was wonderful because, I mean... Again, that movie was so visceral. I mean, there were so many scenes where she's just getting fucking puked on, and her mouth is wide open, and you're like, no, God, just shut your fucking mouth. And it's so wonderful because although it's uncomfortable and it's gross, it's super enjoyable to watch that happen to somebody. Just saying. Mm-hmm. And again, that guilty pleasure, number 9.
Number 1.
My number 1. See, and I'm having a hell of a time with my number one because, again, I've seen a lot of really terribly good horror movies, like Worms. Worms was a really good one. Terrible, 1990s. Or 80s. Late 80s. But I think if I was going to go a guilty pleasure for a movie that I genuinely enjoyed that I don't necessarily feel gets the credit it deserves, The Gate.
Oh, I haven't seen that in a long time.
I don't think I've ever seen The Gate.
I remember liking that movie.
Oh, dude. It is.
We used to watch it all the time when I was a kid.
It's wonderful because, I mean, it's basically just... I think one of the things that sold it for me was the main demon towards the end of the movie looks very Ray Harryhausen.
Hmm.
And not only that, but the sister, when she's caught in peril, stabs one of these zombies in the eye with a Barbie leg. And it's like,
Oh, yeah.
That's just wonderful. It's a really fun movie. It's a stupid movie, but it's really fun. And I think that's why it would probably house my number one spot.
Okay. Before I start my list, I want to take this moment to say to Samantha, fuck you!
What?
On your recommendation, I watched Necrophiliac 1 and 2.
No! Necrophilia, you mean necromantic?
Yeah, that one.
I did not say it was a recommendation. I never said. I said... I will never recommend that movie to anyone. I have brought it up. If you choose to watch it, that is on you.
It's your own.
I never watched the second one.
It was a waste of about 3 hours.
I know.
Of my life. I will never get back.
I could have told you that. And now you know why I will not watch Human Centipede 2 and 3.
I made a 3.
3 is actually pretty funny.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Never in my life will I watch.
Three's actually
those two.
Pretty funny because the secretary that the warden is stooping throughout the whole movie accidentally becomes part of the centipede.
Wah-wah.
It's
no.
Really kind of funny when he's like,
nope.
Wait.
Nope.
Wait.
Nope.
So bad.
They're all terrible. Yeah. They're all just terrible, but
I have this morbid curiosity, and once I get looking at a movie or something or reading something, I'm like, so like when Human Centipede came around, I was like, ew, I don't want to watch this. And then I watched a trailer. And I was like, now I'm fucking curious.
It became a phenomenon.
And then
it
I watched
really
the trailer
did.
A couple. I watched the trailer a couple more times. And I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll watch it. So I streamed it because I was living overseas at the time. And so I streamed it on one of those illegal websites. Shh.
That's okay. No one's listening.
Right?
Good. So, I was streaming, I was watching, I was like, why am I watching this? Why? This is awful. And then I met you a few years, years later. And then we separated where we were living. And you're like, okay, you're going to watch Human Centipede 2. And then we're all going to talk about it. I said, nope. I'm not watching that. And then they came out with the third one. I'm not watching that one. You keep telling me to watch them, and I keep saying no, I will not.
So here's
I will not watch Necromantic 2 either.
here's the thing is Bryce and I watched Human Centipede. The buzz was so big that we had to.
Yeah, it really was.
I don't think we saw a trailer. The opportunity came up. We watched it, and we were stunned, to say the least. We had to stop it in the middle to take a breather because it was like, this is kind of really deep, you know? And of all three of them, it was the best done. I will say that. Just like many horror franchises, the first one is usually the best.
Yeah.
So we saw it, and we thought, you know what would be really funny? Is to make Big Jim watch it and record it, which is where First Viewing Commentary was done. And I got to tell you, completely worth it. that movie is completely lamed when you're watching it with Big Jim and he can't pronounce the main guy's name. And we keep doing Christopher Walken jokes throughout the whole thing. If it is not on the website, let me know. I will re-upload it because it's funny as hell. And then it was further lamed when I found out that Human Centipede, some college, did a musical version of it, and it's beautiful. I highly recommend Human Centipede the musical.
All right, so your top 10, sweetheart.
Hang on. I'm not finished my Human Centipede story. So Human Centipede 2 came out. And we joked about watching it, but I was the only one dumb enough to watch it. Movie is terrible, but again, there are a couple points that stand out in the movie that you're like, okay, those are pretty good. If they were in any other horror movie, probably stand out, especially the lady who escapes, gives birth, and then crushes her own fetus with the gas pedal of the car she's trying to escape in. So
you need to be careful where your fetuses fall. It's a real hazard that they fall behind the gas pedal sometimes.
It's not so much that she birthed it so much as launched it onto the floor of the car. It was.
She hiked it.
And then, because I hate myself, when Human Centipede 3 came out on Netflix, I watched it. And I will say that I laughed my ass off because they completely lost the thread of what made the first one so great. And it's
not great, terrible.
It's basically the main guy from the first one is now, he's playing the warden of this prison that he can't control, and he's constantly getting fellatio from his secretary, played by porn star Brie Olsen, by the way.
Of course.
So, typecast.
Your tongue's already in an ass all day long, so
But he is just like the worst actor in the world. And in the first one, he was pretty decent, but he's so subtle. And this one, he's like way over the top, and you're just like, I hope he gets made part of the Human Centipede. Again, the funniest part is somehow his secretary gets made part of the Human Centipede, and when he sees her, he like loses his mind and then shoots himself. Again, I don't recommend it. Don't watch it. You could probably find highlights on YouTube if you really, really need to see Brie Olsen ass to mouth.
Nope.
Nah.
But
besides, I'm sure there are a lot funner ways to find that.
I'm a completionist, so. I did scour myself with bleach for 6 hours afterwards. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my top 10 guilty pleasures. Number 10. It's got to be teeth.
I almost put that on my list because I figured you would.
We can share. Teeth is a fantastic movie. And
it really was fun.
The best part of that movie is after she screws this guy who's been harassing her for years, she stands up and his junk just falls right out of her. It is so glorious in all of its just horrendousness.
That was my very first viewing commentary.
Yes, it was, and one I should put back up. Just
yes, it's pretty funny.
I still haven't had a first viewing commentary.
We
should do Necromantic.
No. Let's not and pretend.
I'll rewatch
like we
it.
Do.
I'll be honest with you. That sounds awful.
It really
it's
is.
Pretty terrible.
It's a complete art film, but it's a terrible art film. Mm. So yeah, Teeth is my number 10. Number 9, And I'm gonna go with the whole franchise on this one. Critters. I just rewatched Critters 2, and it's just as terrible and wonderful.
It's like Puppet Master.
It's...
I love Puppet Master.
Shut up. That was my number. That was my next one.
Segwayed into number
eight? Here's the thing. Full Moon Entertainment, I think they were.
Yeah.
Made some pretty decent films in the 80s.
They did Reanimator, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you are mistaken.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. You are? Oh.
Yeah, I think Reanimator was actually like Paramount or something like that. Full Moon didn't come out until like 87, maybe 86 when the first...
Reanimator came out 85.
I think the first actual Full Moon Entertainment film was the first Puppet Master.
Yeah, and that one was...
And I'm going to say, actually, so after Critters... The Subspecies series, and then the Puppet Master, both done by Full Moon. Subspecies 1 is fantastic. Subspecies 2 and 3,
Empire International Pictures was who it was distributed by.
Yeah, so that's not Full Moon. the Puppet Master series up to 3.
I would say, honestly, in my opinion, 3 was their strongest. And in my opinion, always was my favorite. That was, if I'm not mistaken, our introduction to Six Shooter, and it was a flashback to World War II.
Yeah.
We found out where Blade comes from.
Yep.
Yeah. And
after 3, fuck them. They suffer the same thing the Hellraiser movies do, and it's like, we got to keep this franchise, throw another one out there. So let's see. Teeth, Critters, Subspecies, Puppet Master. So, number 6. Number 6 is Legend with Tom Cruise.
I love Legend so much.
Legend is a wonderful film and a terrible film all at the same time.
I have never been ashamed of mentioning Legend as my...
You should be.
I should. Robert Picardo, the guy who plays the Doctor in Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, yeah, he plays the Hag. Yeah.
So beautiful.
That movie is a complete acid trip. Ridley Scott was smoking some major, major good shit when he was making Alien and went, you know what I want to do next? I want Tom Cruise in booty shorts and armor.
Yeah. Oh, just a shirt armor.
Yeah, because we got to show off those super white legs.
Yeah, those wonderful I also want
to show how much of a pedophile I am because I'm going to just have naked children running throughout the whole thing.
Well, yeah, it all depends on which cut you get. The director's cut is a little bit better, in my opinion. The theatrical
They're version, still man. Naked children.
My God, their budget on glitter alone must have been incredible.
Yeah, it's... I love that movie. Artistically, it's an amazing film. Story?
Oh, come on, Tim Curry?
I was going to say, the thing that saves that movie and makes it worth the watch is Tim Curry's performance as Darkness.
Yes.
Hands down, the makeup on him and his acting through it is fucking astounding.
I love it.
And pretty much the modern concept of the devil was based on Tim Curry.
Right, right.
It had to be.
Goat hooves, giant horns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I got to think hard because... Like, I'm pretty unapologetic as far as the films that I like.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Spice World?
Oh, that should be on my list.
There was a time I would have said yeah, but...
That's a fun movie. Stupid, I love it.
You're also talking to a guy who was, like, sixth row when Spice Girls came to town on their first tour, so...
What? Oh, wow. I've never even been to one of their concerts.
I've never seen Demonic Toys.
What?
I could never get it.
Oh, man.
Like, I could never rent it.
Demonic Toys versus Puppet
Master. I never saw any of the Dollmen or Jack Death or any of those either.
Well, Demonic
I never
Toys
saw any of the
Full
Trancers.
Moon, man. So, I mean, in and of itself, that should give you an inkling.
Oh,
as to how
no. Trust me. It was high on my list, but again, could never get a copy of it.
Oh, man.
And it always bugged me because I always wanted to see it.
Madness, bro. That's where you got to go.
You know... I know it's critically acclaimed and stuff, but I think it's a terrible movie, and yet I love it at the same time. The Omen, the original Omen,
yeah,
it is It's a horror movie that wants to be an art movie.
Uh-huh. It's kind of how I feel about the Amityville Horror, to be frank.
I would agree with that.
Because there's a lot of that movie that is just, it's good, but it's not great. But I still love it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm right there with you on the Omen.
Omen. And then a movie, if you can find it, I highly recommend it because it's just so, so terrible. The Barbarians.
Oh, yes.
It's so bad.
Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, that was on Comet last month.
It stars the Barbarian Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I have a Barbarians Brothers movie on my list.
As you guessed it, Barbarians.
No.
It is so much oil and loincloth. Mm-hmm. Well, more oil than loincloth.
Yeah.
And it all centers around who can fit this magical jewel in their navel.
Oh.
That's the whole premise of the film.
Interesting.
It's not.
It's so terrible. See, again,
interesting in the most non-interesting way in the world.
This makes me think that you would love your...
Oh, any of those fantasy films, Sword and Sorcerer, sign me up.
I love that shit so much.
And I feel like there's a serious lack of those films these days. I mean, once Lord of the Rings came out...
It kind of put fantasy into the...
Yeah, there's an echelon that no one can reach now.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, it's like there's a difference between having good fantasy and cheese dick terrible fantasy. And what I feel we're lacking is good cheesy fantasy. Because for a long time, they were cranking them out like crazy, and then we started getting gems, you know, like fucking Willow.
Willow's. Yeah.
Willow.
I love that movie. And I mean, Legend is another one that... These gems that come out of this mass production of fantasy films. Right now, we get one or two once in a while, and most of the time, they're just shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what was that last one with Julianne Moore that came out? I can't even fucking remember the title, but it was awful. And then, oh, God, The Witch Hunter or something stupid like that with fucking Jeff Bridges. I can't remember the fucking
name. Yeah, I don't think it was called The Witch Hunter, but...
It was something it was a bad movie. And it was bad.
Yeah, The Witch Hunter was the Vin Diesel one.
That's it.
That one was actually pretty good. I
didn't hate it. It was silly. It was not a good movie, but it was good for what it was. You were entertained.
Yeah,
and that's all it meant to you.
Yeah.
People get way too critical over these like mid-range movies. I'm like, calm down. Okay? Take it easy.
Understand what it is you're going into, right, and you will enjoy
exactly
it a lot more.
Like The Brothers Grimm. I like watching The Brothers Grimm, but would I rank it up with my fantasy excellence of, you know, things like these big winners from the old days? It's like, no.
See, I loved Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah?
That was a legit film. Stupid!
Yes.
But it was really good.
It was fun, but it wasn't great. See, what I'm missing is I'm missing The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Yeah.
That they're just so terrible, they're wonderful. I'm missing those type of fantasy films. And I wish we would get a higher volume of them because it makes shit more entertaining, you know? I mean, when you go to the theater, I mean, I'll be honest with you, most of the time, if it's not a big holy shit movie like Star Wars or something like that, I tend not to go to the theater. I'll wait until it hits Laurelhurst and fucking pay $4 for my ticket.
Yep.
And sit down with a pint of cider and really enjoy that motherfucker. And I wish that we would have more movies that would make that circuit. I mean, because then you get goofy shit like, oh god, they were showing The Last Dragon last Sunday. The Last Dragon, dude. You have to watch this.
I'm trying to figure out...
Bruce Leroy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I have seen it.
My wife's
I got
great
three more here.
But yeah, that's good shit.
You're going to love this one. My number three, Beastmaster. It is so awful and so wonderful all at the same time.
Great shit.
Number two, any Godzilla movie. Any Godzilla movie, I am all over. I don't care from what decade, who's in
it. I love the new one.
Oh, the new one's badass. And the one that's coming out next year. looks to be pretty fucking amazing.
So excited. And I liked the new Kong, too. I don't care who knows it.
I had a lot of problems with the new Kong.
Well, of course there were. But again, that goes back to, what were you there for? To be entertained. This is not a critically acclaimed movie. I had a lot of fun watching it. I really enjoyed myself. And I think Kong looks great. And he's as big as he's meant to be.
Now, are you Skull Island, or are you talking Peter Jackson? Okay.
See, I kind of wish they'd taken the Kong from Peter Jackson and put it in Skull Island.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, it's still...
Circus?
Andy Circus. If I'm not mistaken, he motion captured both of them.
Probably, but I liked...
They scored up the other one a lot more.
It's the fact that Kong in King Kong, Peter Jackson's film, is a gorilla. Like, he moves and acts. Kong Skull Island, he's walking upright like a human.
Well, yeah, he's...
Kong did that every once in a while, though.
Yeah, but they're taking a different perspective on it because...
No, I totally get it. I saw what they were doing. They were trying to separate from Peter. It makes sense, but to me, that film would have been a knock right out of the park if they'd had Kong looking...
If they maintained the more gorilla primalness.
That's just... And again, that's just me.
That's personal. Yeah, that's personal.
And
opinion.
Overall, I loved the film. I loved the location and all the shit that they went through. I loved all the actors. I loved the fact that it was set in the 70s right after Vietnam was ending.
Yep.
Fucking, you can't go wrong with Sam Jackson, so you had me there.
The only
criticism I had towards the film, and again, this is just personal... It would have been 100% perfect if Kong had been more gorilla-like and less human-like.
That's fair.
So, again, it's just me. It's just my personal thing. But I loved it. And I loved the tie-in to the Godzilla movie.
Well, and that's the beauty part about it.
So we're
going to
get that crossover.
Yeah, the next Godzilla movie is set to come out, and it looks like they're already teasing that the fight between Godzilla and Ghidorah is fucking amazing.
Nice.
So,
yes.
I'm all over
now,
that.
Godzilla films, for the most part, I'm with you. Gojira, the original, kind of hard to sit through sometimes. A little long in the tooth, that one was. Later on, they started becoming much more silly and therefore much more entertaining for me.
Godzilla movies went through this kind of fun arc where it was the first one was, it was really a social commentary.
Yeah.
Gojira... And then subsequently Godzilla, 1954. They were very much social commentaries.
Hi.
But after that, they went on this kind of arc where they kind of became family movies.
Yeah, fuck Gojira. Stupid-ass Godzilla baby.
But there was they went like through the 60s and even like 70s. They were very... funny films.
Yeah, they're Thunderbirds Go meets Godzilla.
Yeah, pretty
terrible.
much. But in the 80s, they started becoming like huge blockbuster monster movies.
Yeah.
With some social commentary in them.
True.
And then into the 90s, and then the 2000s, they became like these epic comet-level fucking sci-fi TV movies with like super big special effects. But the thing that I loved about them is no matter what they did, it was always a guy in a suit.
Uh-huh.
Always.
Uh-huh.
They never strayed from that.
Nope.
They went CGI with a lot of the effects, but Godzilla was always
a dude in a suit.
A dude in a suit. And then America got hold of Godzilla back in 95.
I was just gonna say, what do you think about the 1990s?
Yeah, that's why I was like, are you sure you really want to stretch back to 2000?
Do you really
want to
say any?
And here's the thing.
Come on, that Godzilla was a T-Rex on steroids.
It was an iguana on steroids.
He looked like Super Shredder of T-Rexes. Come on.
Well, like when I was a kid.
Ooze and busted out with spikes and shit.
Here's the thing. The overall look of Godzilla was pretty good, except for the head and face.
Yeah.
That's where they lost it. The storyline... pretty strong. Here's a creature that's looking for a nesting. It's the first of its kind. It's asexual. Mm-hmm. It's nesting. It's all pretty good. But what loses it, two things really kill that movie. That's one. And
what
two, Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick.
I love Matthew Broderick. You shut.
He has his moments, but that was not
one of them. Yeah.
He's adorable.
Ferris Bueller should have taken that day off.
Hank Azaria was awesome in that movie, though.
Fair enough.
But yeah, the head and face of Godzilla, that's where they lost it.
Yeah.
And if they'd gone a more Godzilla-like look instead of like, what would happen if we injected steroids into an iguana? That film probably would have been better received.
However, I will say the new Godzilla does kind of look like he spends a little too much time at McDonald's. It goes straight to his thighs.
But the thing is if you look
he's always been thunder thigh-y, though.
Yeah,
which is why I love him, because honestly, he did have more of a callback to the original look of Godzilla.
Yes.
And
that's because they
gave him that look, though, where he was huge. As where, you know, you watch a lot of the old Godzillas, and I mean, he varies from, you know, as tall as a skyscraper to as tall as fucking Mars in a couple of different scenes,
yeah.
And then he drops down to, like, being only 50 foot tall. This Godzilla, it gave his enormity so much more gravity, and
yeah.
So where you could see how fucking massive he was. And they maintained that pretty cleanly through the movie, which I really appreciate.
Well, the thing is it's easier to do in CGI than it is with a guy in a costume.
Yes.
Because if you have the wrong scale models...
Mm-hmm. You're fucking your shit up.
Yeah. So the thing is and they did it right because they went back to the earlier Godzilla films, and they essentially took the very best parts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of the newest American Godzilla that's very much 90s Godzilla from Japan.
Yeah.
He's very menacing looking.
Oh, yeah.
Which you want. But the thing is like he's a force for good, which is much like
he's
the Godzilla moves of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, he was the great equalizer. When something rises up to disbalance, he shows up, puts it in its place, and then goes back to sleep.
Yeah. Like, he's got no interest in destroying the world, through most of the Japanese.
Level.
He's just there to keep... He's nature's balancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Which is what I love about the new movie. However, I will say the new movie, the only sore spot I have is I felt like they spent too much damn time with Bryan Cranston's kid and with his wife. I could have done with a lot less of that and a little bit more with Ken Watanabe, Bryan Cranston.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. The fact that they marketed this with so much Bryan Cranston, and then he's in the movie for 20 minutes and dies, it's a testament to one of the biggest mistakes they made. The second biggest mistake is having so little Godzilla on. However, that's also the bonus or the right thing to do, because it leaves the audience wanting more. And what I love...
It's the Jaws theory. It's the same thing.
Exactly. And they did it so well. So now when the next one comes out, they can spend more time with the monster. But the scene that got me, and I literally... My wife will attest to this. When this happened in the theater, I was on my feet shouting.
Lighting up the back.
When it goes from the tail all the way up and just... And yeah, he
that was
lets
awesome.
The, yeah, I was like... Yeah. Because what happened in the 95 film... It didn't happen. You didn't get the atomic breath.
No, and besides that light up, it was like you knew it was coming, and he fucking pried him. Oh,
so,
like,
I hate to
I'm
going to
watch that film when this is over. We got
to
hurry this up.
I was going to say, I hate to be a douche, but the third person still has 10 movies to get through, and we're going
to
run over at this point.
Well, we always run over,
Cares
Samantha.
I'm just saying,
You know, I don't think I gave a number one, but I don't really have one. So.
You did. That was your number one.
Oh, Godzilla. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, we'll roll Godzilla. All right, Sam, you're up. Fine.
Okay. My movies are very different from your guys.
So
I'm looking at my list going, huh.
Stomach cramps
okay.
in Seattle?
Stomach cramps.
No.
I'm
but,
watching
like, all
that
the horror. All the horror movies that you guys mentioned, you know, I'm right there with you. I love them. But like my list, like my guilty pleasure, like makes my heart like, type of movies are just really different. And these are in no particular order, but the first one I thought of, because I didn't have time to put them in an order, was, The Pacifier with Vin Diesel.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. That one's, yeah. Okay. Just gonna let that one go.
The only thing I can remember from that movie that still makes me laugh is when the girl comes out and goes, "Land!"
But no, that movie's so funny and goofy, and just like I like my guilty pleasure stuff is funny and goofy.
That's fair.
The other guilty pleasure movie that I have is called Center Stage. It's about a bunch of ballerinas trying to get into school and making their way through life. I love that movie. And it's a great movie. And
canned heat in that.
yeah, I enjoy that one. Another one, and I like sports movies too. Another one is called Stick It.
Oh, I love Stick It. Stick It's a great movie.
I actually just rewatched it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, oh, I love this movie. I was in a mood, and I wanted to feel better. And Stick It was on HBO Now, and I used my mom's login because she uses my Netflix. And so I was like,
fair trade.
Yes. Yeah, pretty fair.
No, that movie introduced me to the beauty that is Vanessa Lenges.
Fair enough.
Which one was she?
She's the short kind of, she's the mean one at first, but.
Oh, the snow. Okay.
Yeah, the redhead.
Joanna, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know any of their real names, but I love that movie. I adore it. So the next one that my brother and I watched constantly, and for a little while there, we adapted their little high five, was Double Dragon.
Oh, yeah. That's good right there.
I love that movie. But the martial artists in there were freaking legit. And, like, one of the Double Dragon brothers, he's Grandmaster, all that fun stuff. So, like, the fighting was pretty good, and that was at a time when I was also competing really heavily and training really heavily. So, like, I love that movie.
Just wonderful.
And, you know, they didn't have... They filmed it in Cleveland, so they could practically... set Lake Erie on fire. So, you know, didn't need any graphics. So, this next one, I have not seen in a long time. There's two on here that I haven't seen in a long time that I should go back and rewatch, because when I started putting the list together, I was gaining momentum. And I was like, oh my god, these movies! This is The Barbarian Brothers. Have you guys ever seen Twin Sitters?
No.
No.
Oh my gosh, they're babysitting kids. They have to stop, like, this evil scientist from, like, releasing a gas or something like that. But they're babysitting kids, and I don't remember the exact... Like, that's the only description. Like, let me read you the IMDb description of Twin Sitters.
Hmm.
This is all it says. An evil business executive, played by George Lazenby... is releasing dangerous toxins, and the Barbarian Brothers set out to stop his evil work. That is it.
Wow.
That's all you get.
Apparently, that's all you need.
Yep. And there's
you had me at George Lazenby.
So, you know, and there's a trailer and all that. But my brother and I watched that movie all the time. We loved it when I was a kid, and I know I would love it now because I tend to carry over my childhood favorites as my go-to feel-good, guilty pleasure. I know no one else likes these movies.
Uh-huh.
The other one is a Tom Arnold movie called Carpool.
I love Carpool.
Did you guys remember Carpool?
Carpool is great.
Back into the left. Oh, my gosh. That movie cracked me up. We watched that on freaking repeat.
Uh-huh.
And then my last three are just these stupid sci-fi movies that I really enjoy. I ran into this one on Hulu just last week, and I was like, yes, this movie was just so... Oh, it's so low budget. It's so cheesy, and I just really enjoyed watching it. It's called Alien versus Zombies.
Oh, jeez.
So there's an alien race that's from this little planet behind Pluto. And basically when this kid, he's in college on this planet, and it's his college break, and he's old enough now that he can go travel, and he's going to go to Earth, and he's so excited. He's obsessed with Earth. He loves humans. He's obsessed with the culture. He's never been here before. But the zombie apocalypse happened, and so he doesn't get to experience, you know, the Earth things he wanted to experience, like, you know, women, first of all.
Of course.
Well, you still can. They're just a little more bitey.
And gamey.
Yeah, right?
A little bit.
But he's not susceptible to the zombie bites, so, like, he thinks it's normal when his first zombie encounter tries to eat him. So he's like, oh, you can have my hand, and you just regenerate. It was super... It was funny. this is custom. You can have my hand. And they just grows it back. It's hilarious. It's so I highly recommend it. It's a all lot right. of fun.
Yeah, I'll have to scope that out.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
After Necromantic, forget it. I'm not...
this has Trust none has of that lost. In it. Okay, none of that in it. I absolutely love stupid shark movies.
Oh, like Sharknado?
I can attest to this because I've done first viewing commentaries with her when we've done a couple shark movies and she's...
Oh, come on, like Sharktopus? That shit's
like
legit.
Three-headed
that
shark attack.
Sharktopus is... Those two are on my list. those are my last two. I'm not even kidding. Sharktopus and Two-Headed Shark Attack was the one with...
nice.
And then Three-Headed Shark Attack was the one later. But Two-Headed Shark Attack and Sharktopus were the last two on my list.
God, those are so terrible.
I know.
Sci-fi original movies. Just they know what we're looking for.
Oh, it's so
bad. In that
bad.
They have
then,
no clue what we're
not
looking
even
for.
Close. You know what's funny,
I
though?
I love it.
I guess there's one guy who's almost solely responsible for most of those type of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has taken all of the credit for everything from Sharknado to Sharktopus to, you know, what was it? Giant alligator versus giant shark. Shit like that.
Yes.
I mean, this is one guy who writes all of this shit, and it's just like, you know... Brownie points to you, bro.
Yeah, like keep Mega Shark versus Giant Squid.
Yeah, Megalodon versus Giant Squid.
I don't mean to brag, but that dude follows IABD Presents on Twitter.
Sounds like bragging.
That was one other thing too. Sorry to cut everyone off, but I just remembered one of my other guilty pleasure movies that I have to mention.
You have 10.
I'm kidding. This is number 11 and it kind of trumps them all. Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Yes!
Fuck and you.
What? That shit is
legit. I loved that movie.
John Leguizamo is Luigi? Oh, it's so good.
Perfect.
Come on, man. That shit is so good.
But I think the guilty pleasure movie that really takes the cake for everything, you have to give it to The Room.
Nope.
Which one is The Room?
Yeah.
Nope. The Room is that movie that James Franco just made a movie about, the making of the movie The Room.
So I've not seen either.
It's awful. Okay. Don't waste your fucking time.
I like Disastrous. I also read the book. Mm-hmm. Tommy Wiseau's an asshole, and I do not like him at all as a human being. I think he's terrible. The Room is awful.
It's the worst movie ever.
It's almost as bad as being John Malkovich. I saw it for the first time about 6 months ago.
Oh.
It's more fun to quote with friends after, but watching it is very painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something you have to watch, like with friends or a lot of local.
Or
you know,
first
movie theaters.
Viewing commentary?
Yes. Yes. I would totally be down for that.
Except you've already seen it.
I've seen it. You haven't.
I have. Don't waste your fucking time. It's
I guess we can't
do
it. Two of us have seen
it.
It's almost as bad as being John Malkovich. That is like 2 hours of my life
I will
never get back.
See, I knew it was bad, so I didn't watch it.
I just never watched it. I just didn't have an interest.
I was conned into it. I was under the impression, because when somebody mentions the name The Room, my first thought for the longest time was, oh, Silent Hill, The Room. I'm down. Sounds great. Started watching this movie. Where the fuck are my monsters? Where the fuck is the acting? Where the fuck is the dialogue? What the hell's the story? Fuck this movie. Why are they playing football?
Yeah, right? It makes no sense.
None
but
whatsoever.
when you get into, like I said, I read the book. When you get The Disaster Artist, when you get into the real behind-the-scenes shit of what was happening on that, it makes sense as to why it came out the way it did.
I still don't care.
You don't have to, but I mean, that is the ultimate.
No, these are supposed
to
be guilty pleasures.
That is the ultimate terrible movie.
Not waste of time.
Pleasure.
Do not mock her for her guilty pleasures.
Time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time.
I am time shaming you.
You can. I've only seen the movie once, but I think anyone who enjoys film should see it at least one time.
I will say that the funniest thing I saw was, what was it? Screen Rant's Everything Wrong with the Room in 10 Minutes or Less or something like that, that was pretty genius. They ripped that movie apart.
I saw that. Yeah, I watched that too. It was great.
It was pretty good. It was like, yes, okay, thank you. Somebody gets it.
No, it's terrible. I'm not saying watch it for its good merits, but you watch it to see an example of what is truly terrible. And it's, I'm sorry, you watch it with friends, I think it's a lot of fun to watch it.
That's fair.
Okay, I've got a quick question. You've got to just go with your gut here because we're like up against the wall here. A movie you'd like to see made or remade? Dan, go.
Ooh. All right. A movie I'd like to see remade or made?
Yeah.
Ooh. Robert Asprin's Another Fine Myth. It is a stupid, silly fantasy book, and it follows two main characters. I'd love to see it turned into a movie because, quite frankly, it's fucking hilarious. And it's just goods all around. And it would make for good fantasy movies. So, I mean, it's kind of a win on all fronts.
Okay, Samantha, movie you'd like to see made for the first time or remade? Good.
Oh, shit. So much pressure. Well, I literally just finished this book last night. It's called River of Teeth. Back in the day...
That's a river I don't want to swim in.
No, you really don't. So back in the day, there was a... And this is a true story. There was a law that was going to be passed to import hippos to our Louisiana swamps, and they were going to be part of a meat trade. So we would have hippo meat really, more often instead of cows. That did not get passed the Senate. They canceled that whole thing, so hippos were not imported here. So this, it's a novella. It's only 177 pages, and there's a second one that just came out too. So her story is if this did happen. So hippos are now in the United States, and you have different breeds of them. Some you can ride. So there's this like gang of people that are trying to like get revenge and do this, that, and the other. They're on a mission.
Quick, settle up the hippos.
Yeah, no, yeah, basically. So
gather around in a circle and just have cabbages go between them and just hit your hippo on the back of the head. Yeah, good times, good times.
Get that cabbage.
So hippos, there you go.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna go with Dune.
Oh, yes. Dude.
Dune was pretty legit by itself, though.
Which one?
It's already been
wasn't.
Remade 20 times.
No, actually, Dune has only been made twice.
Yes.
Really?
In 1984 under David Lynch.
Yes, which was
and
pretty
then
damn good.
The Sci-Fi Channel, which was closer to the book, but just god-awful.
Yeah.
I would like to see some of the story parts from the Sci-Fi Channel with the look and feel of Lynch's.
Well, and that was the thing. The Lynch version actually was supposed to be a lot better, but they ran out of money.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I recommend a documentary to both of you. Jodorowsky's Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was basically the Dune that was supposed to be.
While given the artwork and stuff, I don't know that I would have been as excited.
True.
The ideas that the guy had floating and the fact that he was working with Geiger.
Double true.
Yeah, I would have had to watch it just to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sad that we're not seeing it. However, I did recently, and this is why I brought it up, Dune has been greenlit.
Really?
I heard about that.
Yeah. So
I'm excited because I'm actually reading the book right now because of the old movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love that shit. It's one of my favorite sci-fi movies in general just because it's so fucking silly. So
I'm
learning.
That movie is a lot deeper than it's was given credit for.
Yes.
And there's a lot of stuff that's really tight to the book, and I love that. Just like with The Exorcist, I mean, it was almost taken directly from mm-hmm. the book, and not a lot of movies do that when they're based on books. And with Dune, they had to exercise a lot just to get what we saw and skip a lot, but it worked. And so I'm hoping what they do, since Dune is such a deep book, that they kind of split it into two, so we can get a legit Dune movie.
To be honest, though, I kind of hope they end it after the first Dune.
Yeah, don't do all the Dune movies. Yeah, just do Dune. Do it in two parts.
We don't need to find out that enough spice turns you into the Great Worm.
Yeah.
That's just silly.
If the first two do well, you know those Hollywood bigwigs are going to say, we need more, because... God forbid, story.
Yeah, but I'm saying what I'm saying is take Dune, split it into book one, book two, make movies out of those. So we get maybe a 4 or 5 hour cut altogether, much like Lord of the Rings, and we get a legit Dune film.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. I would love it if they did that. But if it has any sort of success at all,
they'll mine it.
Run it into the ground, and it's going to turn into shit.
Although, I wouldn't mind seeing the Machine War.
Fair enough.
That would be kind
of
cool.
Again, the God Emperor of Dune needs to stop.
We kind of saw the Machine War with Battlestar Galactica. Anyway.
And before we go, the only other movie I could think of that I'd like to see redone.
You don't get two.
Shut up. I'm taking two.
He added another movie, too.
Kroll?
No. Kroll needs to stay right where it is. Liam Neeson was brilliant in it.
Yes, he was.
I never saw the first one.
Oh,
I don't...
my God.
Need
to watch
there
Kroll.
Is only one.
There's
Kroll.
Only one in its own.
Well, that's what I should say I've never seen Kroll. So I was going to say original, but it hasn't been remade yet. But I've never seen
it's the Jesus. Best movie about a throwing star you will ever watch.
Yes.
Awesome.
We got lasers. We got sci-fi. We got aliens. We got Spider-Man.
A boomerang throwing star.
We got barbarians. We got sorcerers. We
and
got
Liam Neeson.
Cyclopses. We got shit.
Damn, Liam Neeson still.
Liam, I think it was like one of his first films ever.
That Excalibur.
Yeah.
He was fucking batting 1,000, dude. He was on top of it.
Yeah.
My dog is hungry and she's pulling the headphones out of my ears.
Oh, so that's whose stomach we heard gurgle.
Sure it was.
Sure it was.
Well, she's going.
Okay, so that's it for us this week. Hopefully Jim will be feeling better and he'll be back. And hopefully Bryce won't have appointments next week.
Jerk.
Yay.
I feel like this would have been a much more lively conversation with the two of them because Jim and Bryce both have some interesting movie choices, I think.
I'm sorry that Dan and I are such a disappointment to you.
No, you guys are good.
Whatever.
I'm saying Jim and Bryce.
I don't believe you.
Jim, you and I, we're going to go watch movies together. Fuck you.
Just make me
She's
feel like
make
a
you
terrible
watch
person.
Two-headed shark attack.
Thank you. My self-esteem is just rising so much.
How dare you, sir? Indeed.
Hear that? She's getting pissed.
Indeed. Is that how you feel about it, Sam?
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.